gospel lesson, which is all very good, but the special focus on these words, are you the coming one, or should we look for another? John doubted. Yes, the greatest ever born of woman, the one who walked in the prophetic steps of Elijah, the prophetic voice in the wilderness, doubted. And who can blame him, really? There was a big buildup. A coming one who was so great, John was not worthy to untie his sandals. Coming with an axe, ready to swing at the root of the faithless and the fruitless. Yes, he's coming with a winnowing fork and a threshold of the wheat, to burn the chaff and unquenchable fire. He's coming with a baptism, not simply of water, but with a fiery wind of the Spirit. And what a show it will be, John. But then Jesus came and didn't quite look that way. Meekly, Jesus stepped into the Jordan with no fanfare to be baptized by John. Yes, he came as if a penitent to John's baptism of repentance. The sinless one, to be treated as a sinner and submit to a cleansing that he didn't even need. Well, it kind of freaked John out, you may recall. John was outraged. I should be baptized by you. And here you're coming to me, listen, cousin Jesus, you got this whole thing backwards. But Jesus responded, let it be, John. This is how it goes. This is proper to fulfill all law. Well, you can understand John's disillusionment that you heard in today's gospel. There he was, sitting in Herod's prison, literally taken out of the gate. His crime, criticizing Herod's adulterous affair with his brother's wife, Herodias. For that, he would eventually lose his head. If John was anything like his contemporaries, he had certain expectations about the Messiah, the Christ, God's coming and anointed one. John was raised in the wilderness, you recall, where messianic expectations ran like everything that John said about Jesus fits the bill. The axe, the winnowing fork, the fiery breath, the judgment. Messiah was supposed to be a strong man, lead buildings in single bound, God's appointed warrior, someone who would gather an army, lead a revolution, and put Israel back on the map and restore the throne of David and the splendor of Solomon. When the people of Jesus' day heard, repent for the kingdom of God is near, they probably thought, drop what you're doing. The revolution is near. The kingdom is coming. God's ready to fight. Take up those swords. But again, Jesus came and it didn't look like that, did it? Rather, he came to submit to John's baptism. And then he goes and he preaches the good news of the kingdom, not in palaces and thrones, but to the poor, to the marginal, to those on the fringes. Healing the sick, raising the paralyzed, cleansing the leper with budding touch, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and of course, raising the dead, just as it was foretold in today's Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. And his right-hand man, his forerunner, gets tossed in prison for taking on Herod's morals in the sixth commandment. Maybe John got a bit ahead of himself and decided to go after Herod. Herod, after all, was trying to be a contender for the Messiah. Maybe John thought it was time to flex some moral muscle in the direction of Herod, knowing that Jesus would have his back. And now he's rotting in jail, and Jesus is off on another preaching tour. And that was hardly the expected messianic agenda, at least for John at this moment. So what does John do? He sends his question out of the dungeon to Jesus in the field. Jesus, are you the coming one, or should we look for another? Oh, it's a hard question coming from a man hardened by the wilderness, a man who had one thing on his mind, the coming of the kingdom of God. He knew he wasn't going to get out of this prison. He knew there was no one coming to storm the gates to free him. He knew his head would be served up on a platter to Herodias. But he needed to know one thing from Jesus, more or less as a death wish. Are you the coming one, or do we look for him? Hear those words of John, are you the coming one, or do we look for another, which I have chosen as a sermon theme this morning, and tremble. Yes, tremble. For you have not been tested nearly so severely as John was. Perhaps people make fun of you for going to church on Sunday instead of straight to Sunday lunch. Maybe people make fun of you for believing the Bible really is God's word, or that baptism really saves you, or that the bread and wine are Christ's body and blood. Maybe the word Christian is spoken with a snarl on the world's lips these days, as people begin to realize just how powerless Christians are in seeking the trophies of this world. But you have not been imprisoned for your faith. You have not been persecuted in the fullest sense of the word, and you have not been tortured or harassed like the brothers and sisters in Christ that we pray for around the world every Sunday. Perhaps we should say that we Christians here in America are certainly challenged, but not sure we're really persecuted. Well, we're inconvenienced, no doubt, and made fun of now and then, but no one of you got up this morning and wondered if you would be martyred for Christ today, like John the Baptist in prison. So the whole episode deals with expectations, doesn't it? And we all have expectations, just like the folks who had messianic expectations in Jesus' day. All we have those expectations, for better or for worse, but when your expectations cross the boundary into being false gods and desires, they only lead to disappointment and to doubt. When the people around us don't live up to our expectations, real or unreal, realistic or unrealistic, we are disappointed, and we often let them know it, don't we? We no longer have faith in them. They aren't worthy of our trust. They disappointed him, and I'll never trust him or her again, we say. And sometimes we say and think that about God, too. When he doesn't live up to our expectations, when he doesn't grant us favors on demand to reward our believing, when he leaves the cancer to be, when he lets the bullets fly toward the innocent, when he allows the floods to rise, the storms and the fires to come, the winds to blow, and yes, the drums of war to resound around the world. When our lives go unrewarded and unrecognized, we poor sinners are disappointed in the world, and we tend to blame God. Now, relate your own disappointments back to John, the untamed prophet of the wilderness, sitting in Herod's dungeon, possibly wearing an orange jumpsuit with Department of Corrections on the back and leg irons around his ankles. Herod was fascinated by John, and he's beautiful. Can you imagine what must have been going through this wilderness man's mind? He was used to being out in the open, under the open sky, eating locusts and wild honey, and now he's chained in a dungeon and awaiting his execution. Where was Jesus? Where's the revolution, Jesus? When would the coming one come? Are you the coming one, Jesus, or do we look for another? So we see some continuity between John's question and our own sinful false expectations. But Jesus responds to all of this with the Son, what he does for you, for John, and for us. The signs of the coming age are not signs of visible power, but rather healing and the new creation. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the unclean are clean again. Yes, even the dead are raised up, and the poor hear, but they are only poor in spirit. The signs reveal to faith what the eye cannot see and the ear cannot hear, that the kingdom of God has indeed come with the coming of Jesus. The Son of God has come in the flesh, and the age of the Messiah has dawned in the flesh and blood of Christ. The light of the gospel shines amidst the darkness of death. Even as the darkness seems to prevail, it seems to have the upper hand, and Herod appears to rule the day. He certainly runs the dungeon. He can arrest John. He can put him in prison. He can silence the preacher of repentance. But they make no mistake. There's a lion running loose in Herod's kingdom, a lion of the tribe of Judah, who has come to deal with sin and death once and for all by his dying and rising. And on his way to the cross, he is leaving little signposts all over the place, tokens of the coming age of forgiveness and salvation. Water becomes wine overflowing. The deaf hear, the lame walk, the blind see, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Yes, these are all signs of the messianic age that he has come. The Lord has come. He His name is Jesus the Christ. So, Jesus says in effect, go, you disciples of John, and tell John, even in prison, what you hear and see in me. Jesus sends John's disciples back to the dungeon with word that he saw. Tell him, Jesus doesn't leave John to die in doubt, but sends word into the darkness. The kingdom is here, John. It's here for you. Everything you hoped for and more has come. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized, that is, offended by and so the great and abiding question for this third Sunday in Advent, are you the coming one, Jesus, or should we look for another? A question still resonates in our midst this Advent and August. To your doubting mind, to your broken heart, dearly beloved, Jesus speaks to us. A word of forgiveness I forgive you all your sins. A splash of baptismal water to regenerate you and make you whole. His true body and blood, him living under the bread and wine. His death and resurrection applied to you in your own personal dungeon, a life of repentance and faith. Yes, he comes to you in his word and his sacraments to free you, to heal you, to unbar the gates and break the chains of sin that once held you captive to eternal death. Now, to be sure, the kingdom of God, the church in this world, suffers violence, and violent men take hold of it. John can be arrested and executed on the cross. Jesus will be arrested and crucified. Violent men may seize the kingdom, but in the end, the kingdom lays hold of them. Herod died in ignominious death and exile. All men may judge the kingdom, and in the end, the kingdom judges them, for it is the kingdom of the true and eternal judge. Powerful men may still silence the prophets and apostles, and even lay hold of the king and crucify him and suppress the preached word, but in the end, the word of the Lord endures forever. For it is the word of the coming one who fulfills all that was written of old of this Messiah and grants you even this day to rejoice in his forgiveness, his life, his salvation. As the hymn puts it, come, the long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. In Jesus' name. Amen.